the Little Ranch House Studio in Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Blind Handyman Show. Yes, sir, Rebob. Welcome to show number 170. This is August 29, 2006. Certainly nice to have you with us. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. All, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, and everybody's here today, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey, Mr. Time, we've got a full crew today. Boy, all right.
Absolutely amazing.
We normally don't see all four of us in the same room anymore. Don Patterson?
Yeah, but the quickest way to get somebody to show up is going to contract renegotiation. My God, I was going to be here for mine. I'm glad to be here.
Well, my name is Tom Houston, and I want to introduce the creator and the producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Phil Parr.
Yeah. I'll give you some idea, but we want to say hi to Max Robinson and Gordon Vick.
Yes,
and,
he's on there.
Somebody else I saw that was on there that we know. That FTP's got everybody's name changed, so you don't know who's listening, but... Anyway, we're glad to have every darn one of you, 10 of you, 12 of you, whatever there is, out there listening today. Just a couple things before we start. You know, Lou and I are going on a cruise, a little Alaska cruise, so we're going to fly. So we've been checking the rules for flying, what you can take. You can't take toothpaste on the plane anymore.
No.
No, and you also can't take your saber saw.
Yeah.
I swear to God, he said that. That's one of the things you can't take. How long for those days when you could get on the plane and complete your woodwork project?
That's right.
If you'd hold the end of that tube before, guy across the aisle there, you know.
Buy your woodworking equipment.
Yeah, you could take your saber saw and your planer and on the plane and finish up your picnic table on your... You know, what idiot tried...
However, I was going to say, it must be legal to bring dynamite back from South America because some guy did it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And one more thing. Of course, we're going on this cruise, we had to go buy new shoes, and I've noticed that I now wear a size and a half larger shoe than I did last time I bought shoes.
Huh.
So my wife says, as you get old... Your feet get bigger. So someday I'll wear size 20 shoes and I'll be 5'3". Is that right?
Yeah.
Have these huge feet.
I bought shoes here about 2 months ago. Same thing. About two sizes actually.
Yeah.
In certain styles, like slip-ons. They're just not the same old nines that I used to wear.
I used to wear 9.5. I'm up to 11s now. No question.
I'm doing 10.5 and 11.
So I just couldn't believe it. So if your feet just keep getting bigger when you're 90, you know.
Yeah.
Just a few of the questions that we had to ask today.
My belly keeps getting bigger.
It does.
I mean, my God, I'm up to 40 now. I mean,
are you?
I don't know if that's from old age.
I've been in 40s for a long time now. Luann bought me one pair of 42 jeans. They're immense.
No kidding.
Huge. I'd try to take them back.
I think when you get up to 40s after that, the next size up is the family size.
Well, you know, I'm 40, 29. What do really short, fat guys do?
I don't know.
You know, because you can't get them much bigger than 40. They're longer. They're 32, which is way too long for me. So I don't know. What do really short, fat guys do? All right. Anyway, enough kibitzing. What do we do? You got list mail?
Oh, yeah. I've got a little bit here. It says, how does anyone know of a good weed killer that will not hurt pets? Stephen Shannon.
I don't know.
I pass.
Well, I mean, I don't know that you want to, if you're going to kill the weeds, why not take out the pets, too? In fact, I make it a point to read on the label, if it is harmful to dogs, that's my first choice.
Well, you got more dogs.
All those dogs over there, you got
more dogs than most people.
Actually, I think like your typical one, what, Roundup, and I can't think of the other one, if you use them sparingly, and I think that they'll still kind of do their job, but maybe after like 24 hours. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, put it out and then immediately let the pets out. But I think after the first do or something, they're probably not going to be. Emily uses that and ant killer, I mean, like often, and we've so far
never.
All of our
and still have all
and
the
and they're still surviving.
No problem whatsoever.
Yeah,
but your dogs are not. They're not going to eat grass. I mean, your dogs are well fed, and they're not going to. You know, it's like the doctor, what's his name, told me about the rat poison. Your dog's not going to eat a dead rat. She's too well fed.
You wouldn't think so.
You know, she gets kibbles and bits and plenty of it every day.
But I don't know, you know, out in the country. Now, I've seen my dogs eating grass.
Yeah, dogs and cats do. I think it's like a purgative. I think it's kind of a... I've seen them kind of grazing. That's what we call it.
Really?
And but if you'll... You know, where are you going to use your Roundup around your fence row or your flower beds or something? And, you know, you can't even rub it on rather than just spraying it like crazy. You can kind of... So the thing you do for the first 24 hours, my opinion, understand, is keep the pets away from it for the first 24 hours, and then I think you're okay.
Which, you know, of course, reminds you of the joke of why they use AstroTurf at A&M to keep the cheerleaders from grazing.
Boy, that'll win you some friends.
That's terrible, isn't it? We're worldwide. We don't have to worry about it, you know.
Anyway, I went, since I knew that we didn't know anything about weed killers.
You just assumed we didn't know anything.
I just assumed you didn't know anything
You're right.
about weed killers. So I had a response that I printed out that I wanted to read to you.
All right.
I don't know that it'll do any good, but anyway, I'm going to read it to you. You might want to try mixing water, salt, and vinegar. Ice cream salt would be more effective than table salt.
Okay.
The thing to remember is when to apply the mixture. Now, if it's very dry, the weeds and so forth have their pores closed to conserve moisture, so the weed killer you apply just will not be effective. Apply the mixture when the dew is high because the weeds and grasses have their pores open to absorb as much moisture as possible. Unfortunately, this salt, vinegar, water mixture will kill good and bad grasses, weeds, and such alike.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
A good cup of ice cream salt and a quart of water plus a quart of vinegar should do the job. And that came from Cy.
This came from this Oaky guy.
The ancient Oaky.
Yeah, the ancient Oaky.
Well, man, he's pretty... I didn't...
He's on top of that.
I had no idea. Yeah. Well, I have to give you more credit than I was.
That is true. And like Weed Be Gone is the other one I couldn't think of.
Yeah, right. That's it.
But now they'll kill good grasses, too. They make... You know, fertilizers with weed killer, weed and feed.
Yeah.
They call it. I always wound up thinking it was feeding the weeds and the grass.
Turf builder.
Yeah.
But anyway, but like the that'll work and that's not harmful to your pets. Now, but he's right about the dry weather because we have some grass that's growing up in the expansion joints in the driveway.
Oh, yeah?
And so we sprayed it, and the grass still comes. In this hot weather, the weed killer did not do...
It didn't absorb.
Well. Yeah.
Didn't do any good.
My little brother, who is listening right now, by the way, but my little brother was telling me about something that he used. I can't remember the name of it. But maybe he'll tell us one of these days.
Perhaps he could call.
But,
well, he could.
That number, once again.
Number once again is 936-634-9500. It's my home number.
But now, he was in Birmingham at his office in Birmingham there, and he said he sprayed some kind of solution or some product on the grass where he had weeds, and it was gone. And then the next year he forgot to, and he had weeds. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but maybe he'll call us and tell us one of these days.
One of these days. Maybe so. Maybe we'll have him on when I get back from our little cruisy vacation.
Okay.
All right, Tommy, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Marco. I am new on the list. Hope to learn from you. I just bought a house out in Arizona, and I would like to know how to cut my back and my front yard. I would like to know how to find out patterns or a way to mow with the lawnmower. I hope to get some tips, and I'm happy to join you guys.
We have had endless discussions mowing the lawn. The best thing, what did we decide that day? I've never done it, but they think the best thing is an electric lawnmower,
electric
right?
Electric lawnmower is one solution that's come up. Mowing barefoot
would be one.
The rows with your feet. Putting stakes in the ground and ropes and moving them over as you go along is a solution.
Is one way to do
it. Or the best solution that I heard, and Tom, you may have that as a response, is since you're kind of in the desert land anyway, just say to hell with it and just have all sand or something.
Well, have them bring out a load of pea gravel and don't worry about it.
I was thinking barefoot with cactus and rattlesnakes. Yeah, that's the way I'd do it.
Yeah, that's right.
But I didn't print any responses to that.
But the electric mower will work. I mean, if you just hell-bent on mowing your lawn, the electric mower will work, but then you got to buy a lawnmower, and then you got to get out there and do it. And you can find, you know, the best solution is find some kid that'll do it for you.
There you
yeah.
go.
For $15.
A high school student might be a good solution.
How much lawn are you going to have there in the desert of Arizona?
That's it.
But it can be done. Blind people do it all the time. We had a big discussion on the list one time about that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure he'll get some responses from guys like Cy and Dale Evans.
Some responses.
Now Dale Evans mows his all the time. In fact, the other night he was talking for a while and he said, "I'll be back in a few minutes." And he went out and mowed the front lawn.
Yep.
But he's a little more industrious than some of us.
But now he's also in Canada. He probably gets a lot of rest.
Oh yeah.
Well, he does. He wouldn't have much grass. It'd be cool.
Have much grass cutting to do.
Never would be 100 degrees like it is.
No,
here.
It wouldn't be like here.
But in Arizona, buddy, you'll wish you hadn't mowed. You wish you'd never brought that up.
Yeah, man.
You know, somebody's knocking on the door, I believe.
Really?
Anyway, hello.
Hello, hello.
Here's a subject I don't think's ever come up on the list that I've seen anyway or anything we brought to the Blind Handyman Show.
Yeah.
It's on patching a floorboard in an automobile. And, well, it's a pickup, actually.
I have no knowledge of that whatsoever.
I know there's some responses, though, for this post.
Okay. Yeah, I printed one of them, but this guy says the floor on his 89 pickup has deteriorated under the left front corner of the driver's seat. Said he was thinking about using some flat stock and prop rivet a piece above the and below the floor.
Well, now that'd work.
Also, I'm picking up a 1990 GMC Jimmy for parts. I could cut a section of the floorboard out of the Jimmy, but I'm not sure I want to leave a gaping hole in that floor for animals and the weather to infiltrate and cause unnecessary damage inside the cab.
If you had a piece of aluminum of some kind, pop rivets are what you forget about them. They're wonderful things. I mean, they just, you know, you drill a little hole, stick the pop rivet in there, squeeze a gun, and bingo, it's not going anywhere.
I wonder,
now removing them
would be a problem. If you have some good solid metal or something to go into, I don't know, it's an interesting, man, what a project.
is the floorboard in a car metal?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just some kind of aluminum or something, right?
Yep.
Some sort of metal.
So if he could find a sheet of aluminum of some sort, you could pop rivets would be your deal. Make the hole square and cut a square piece and pop rivet it in, put the rug, nobody'd ever know it. You could sell it and nobody'd ever know you'd done that.
Well, his question was, what would be the best way to fasten the replacement metal short of welding it into place?
Nah.
And this came from Robert Moore. Then we had a response on it from Bryce. He said, one of my cousins just got through fixing his. He took some thin sheet metal, laid it in there and started beating it down and then running sheet metal screws in to hold it down. Then he applied some kind of tar on it from the bottom of the car. Then he put down new carpet right over the new sheet metal.
You'd probably want to put some sort of sealant around it so water wouldn't get up in there. But sheet metal screws, that'd work. But a pop rivet gun is cheap, and, man, that'd be a lot easier than... And, of course, you still got to drill a hole, even if you do sheet metal.
Yeah, you still got to drill. So.
Make any difference. Did Pat leave us?
No, I'm here. I went to deal with your man.
Oh, the guy that's cleaning up out there?
He's going to the dump, and he will return on the morrow to
finish
do
up.
The roof.
Okay. All right.
So what a
that's
deal.
What we know.
And
we're...
he didn't ask for money.
He didn't ask
what
for money?
What a guy.
What a guy.
Yeah, really.
What a guy.
Maybe he'd want to come out and work with your bricklayer. Don had a little problem with his bricklayer this morning. He threatened an insurrection.
That's right.
And quit. You set him straight, though, didn't you, Big Don?
Well, no. I mean, I just begged him to stay.
Yeah. What'd he say? I don't need this job. I'm going to get my trailer. Take me about 30 minutes.
He said he didn't have much invested in it. I assume he was going to walk up and leave the bricks he had laid and not figuring he would not get his money. And so... we negotiated. He didn't go up on the price. I just said, he really needs a job because he's really afraid of his wife. So I just let him play his hand.
And if he'd left, he wouldn't have gotten any money, would he?
Well, no. I'll guarantee you I wouldn't have. I know Emily wouldn't have paid him. But. Anyway, right. I was glad that he stayed. Yeah.
You got one more?
Yeah, I've got one here. It says, hi, folks. I spend a lot of time drilling holes in metal for a variety of reasons and applications.
Yep.
And I feel like I have a pretty accurate system of getting my holes straight.
Okay.
How are you guys doing it? Virtually everything I do is with a 3/8 or half-inch handheld drill motor. Interested to hear your solutions.
Well, I don't know. Solutions to what? To how to get a...
To how to get a straight holes if you're drilling holes into metal. And I guess...
Did you get the response to that, talking about some guides or something
I printed one of them. There were several responses.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the guy suggested that board that you cut little notches in the side that you slide up and put over the hole to hold your drill bit straight.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Which was a good, great suggestion.
Which was a great idea.
It was.
So
and is.
What's your response?
The response I got from John was a device called Harbor Freight. It's called a self-centering doweling jig. Although designed for dowels, it makes a decent drill guide. Harbor Freight.
That's a tool, a sales play, company that
Harbor
sells.
Harbor Freight would be somebody that sells tools. But what is this
device
tool?
From Harbor Freight?
What is this?
Harbor
what
Freight.
Is it called?
It says it's a device from Harbor Freight. I don't know.
Yeah, that is the tool
it's
company.
A self-centering doweling jig.
A self-centering doweling jig.
So it's used for dowels.
Got to have one of those.
Got to
have
two.
I guess I'm wondering if he's talking about drilling between two pieces of metal. I mean, a hole through one and a hole through... Because, I mean, if you were even drilling through quarter-inch stock... what different? I mean, how uncrooked could the hole?
Could you be?
Yeah, I mean the drill. If you went and slanted, I mean the hole might be a little wallered. But if you're drilling a half inch hole to put a, I guess I'm missing.
Are keeping the holes uniform, same distance apart, or
yeah,
I'm not sure. I think that's
okay.
What.
But then you know you can buy on that regard if it was on the edge, like a piece of. There's several types of angle iron material that have holes.
That's
spaced,
right.
So
I've got your piece right here.
Off, you know,
like plumbing strap.
Or, plumber strap. It has holes that interval. I mean, it the same. You could pick out a pattern and go from there. So I guess I'm not sure what.
I'm not exactly sure what he's wanting to do. But anyway, I'm sure we helped him.
Oh, you know we
never,
did.
You
know
never, we never failed.
Never failed. So it's really
scoot back in his chair.
All right, shall we take a break and call the guest? Get him on the phone. And our guest today, Donald Shaw, is
Bob Kroger.
Bob Kroger from
Florida, from the workshop guy that's building the blind workshop
in Florida. And we assume it's been about 3 years now. He ought to have it through. Ought to be through with it just in time for hurricane season.
Yeah.
Ernesto's on his way.
Ernesto's on the way. Well, we're all here today, and that's a good thing. So we're going to get the guests and invite some phone calls in a little bit. We're the Blind Handyman. Hang on. Be right back. Have a live audience today.
We have folks from
all over the nation. A lot of folks from up in Northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006,
we're going to do it again.
We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday.
Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live blind handyman show Sunday morning, a live blind like me show Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night, more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philpar.net. That's phil@philpar.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. In Texas, isn't it? I'll tell you what.
It's hot out there right now. The sun is out.
The sun is out. I thought it was going to rain a little bit, but...
No, not a chance.
Not a chance.
No way.
And the yard guy, cleaning out my garage or whatever he's doing there, he took a hike.
That's right.
He's out of here.
He's in sympathy.
She's in sympathy with your brick guy, right?
That's right.
All right, Bob Kroger's our guest. Bob, sir, how are you this afternoon?
Real good.
You're down in Florida?
Yes, sir.
You do know that there's a hurricane headed your way, don't you?
Well, that's not true. we hear about them all the time, but we don't see too many. We had one in, two in 2004. And I hope that's the last one I'm going to see in my lifetime.
You hope that's it, huh? Well, we have had you on a couple of times before, and you told us about a project that you've been involved with for, the better part of 3 or 4 years now, right?
Yes, sir.
And just kind of catch everybody up on what you're trying to do down there.
Well, it's pretty simple, really. What we're trying to do is to get a school put together for the blind, teaching them how to become independent contractors in the act of making cabinetry. Also furniture, but cabinetry will be the big thing.
The big thing, yeah.
Yeah, and our building, we thought that we were going to get federal and state financing, and we've never gotten any of that. So we started the building in 2002, and we're getting very close. The building is probably right now about 80% done, and we're looking for more money, and we're raising some in some of the projects we're doing, and we're hoping for other monies that'll come in. So, you know, we're getting very close, though. The electrical, all the partition walls, all that sort of thing is all done. Matter of fact, we're putting bathrooms in right now. So it is coming. And also, since the last time I talked to you, the building that got hit by the hurricane in 2004, which tore the roof off it, that building is being totally renovated. And Progress Energy, who is our power company down here, just put us a brand new roof on that building. So they just did that a week ago. So, you know, we're coming along, but I sure wished we were done. I thought we were going to be all done back in 2003, and it just doesn't work that way, I guess.
And here it is, 2006, and you're still not quite finished.
Not quite. No, we're getting closer, though. We've taken on a few new projects. We are in the new building right now. This summer program, we put together wooden little choo-choo trains. They're about 3 foot long, and they're really unique, and we're selling those for $32. That's a fundraiser.
Uh-huh.
And we're also building caterpillars out of wood with little wheels, and those are kind of unique. And we're doing, they're about 15-inch wishing wells that we're putting together, and they'll be, matter of fact, they're going on eBay starting next week. So
okay.
Yeah, we're getting started.
Well, the first time I talked to you, it was you and one other guy, and the newspaper had been out there taking pictures, and you guys, this is a metal building that you guys built.
Yes, sir. It's Quonset hut.
It's all metal, and I forget, you told me the number of bolts and nuts that you had to put together.
Yeah, there was a $250,000 of them. And It really was a difficult thing, but we were in a situation where we weren't getting the federal or state money that we thought we were going to get.
Yeah.
And we did have the material there, so we decided to go ahead and put it up.
Yeah.
And it was quite a project, but we found out, and I think that the people who gave us, well, they didn't really give it to us, but they gave us a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
The steel, they're going to do a story on this thing now that it's just about finished. And it ought to be all over the country.
About these blind guys out there putting a steel building together.
There you go. Yeah, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Well, you had a helper that seemed to be your kind of your right-hand man. Is he still with you? Or are you still?
No, he has moved up to South Carolina. And, you know, he worked with me. Well, there was two different men. I had one that worked 3 days a week, and the other one worked two.
Uh-huh.
The fellow that worked 3 days a week has moved up to South Carolina now. He's retired. He was pretty disabled, and yet, boy, what a worker he was. He really worked hard. But I had to do all the scaffold work, and I had to be the one that was on top of the roof putting the bolts through and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't too bad. And then he took 2 days a week off trying to recover on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then I had a local man that was here who was 67 years old who, you know, finished up what the other fellow couldn't.
Now, what you have you got any of this completed and cooled and heated or anything? Or you have any of that done?
No. What we have done, though, we do have all the electrical done now. And we have these great big fans. The temperature here, we're just below Ocala. The temperature runs about 87 to 89 degrees in the summertime.
Oh, man.
We've got two great big gigantic 4-foot fans in the back of the building that suck the air from the front to the back.
Okay.
And it really, I'm not going to say it's cool, but it's comfortable.
You can live with it, huh?
Well, of course, the reason you got to have air conditioning is because we're used to it. So, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't have it, and it didn't make any difference. Nobody.
That's right.
But,
air conditioning, to me, is a real problem because I came to Florida 37 years ago to get warm.
Well, you made it, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and I love it here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get away from that. We have air conditioning here at the home, but it's set at 82 degrees.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it keeps the humidity out, and it's comfortable.
Whereas mine is set at 72.
Well, yeah. But,
my wife likes it. She likes
it.
It's
totally different, though. And
it is.
We do enjoy it here. We're right on the river, and it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot hotter here than it is. We've had several hundred-degree days.
Yeah.
It's probably 98 out there right now.
Yeah, you know, it used to be that people came to Florida to get warm. I think it's going to get to be in the summertime where they'll come to Florida to get cool.
That's why, yeah, 80 sounds great to me. Upper 80s would be, compared to what we're used to, would be fine.
Yeah, I'd be thrilled with every. Now, let's talk about what your plan is. Hopefully within the next, what do you think, the next 6 months to a year, you're going to be really up and going?
Well, right now we're looking for a couple carpenters that used to be cabinet builders out of wood.
Uh-huh.
And that have gone blind. We want all blind people.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to start working with them and getting them trained. We are putting the equipment now into the building. So that's all set up, and it's really kind of a unique situation because we're doing things the way blind people should be doing it, not the way that the sighted world thinks we should be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes a tremendous difference. We've got little places like on the one side of our building. I've got five stalls. We call them mechanical bins. Those mechanical bins run about 20 by 20, and you can't get into them except the person that's working there. We're finding that blind people that work with machinery, especially dangerous machinery, if they're not paying attention to what they do or if somebody comes up to them and scares them or something, there's some real serious problems.
Sure.
We're trying to keep away from all that. Our liability insurance thus far in the last 10 years has been very reasonable. And we want to keep it that way. And as long as we don't have any accidents, we're going to do just fine.
Yeah.
And so You know, there's a lot of new things that we're doing that's never been done. Now, maybe not all of them will work, but I think the majority of them will, because it's all blind people sitting there, and how do we solve this? What do we do to make it work better? That type of thing.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
I wonder, Bob, if you were talking about you're looking for two carpenters. I guess this would be some kind of employment.
I'd take four, but two would get us 30.
But kind of as an employment, I mean, they would be employed, right? Or are you looking for volunteers?
Well, probably the first 3 months, they'd be under a more or less like a training program.
Right.
From that point on, if they're skilled trade workers, or they used to be when they were sated,
right,
it isn't going to take them very long to catch on.
Yeah. So, I mean, in other words,
from that point on, they would become paid.
Okay. Because I was wondering also about if you did, like, after you had your students or your trainees that you are wanting to train, if you did some kind of a guest worker program, like the guy, our guest last week comes to mind, or one of the weeks where we had the fellow from Montana. The veteran, the Vietnam vet,
yeah,
that was the furniture. See, well, I mean, that guy, what if a guy wanted to come down and do you a month, you know, like a, just come and help, give you a hand for a month after you had your students, and then you might.
Yeah, I'd love to have somebody like that.
Yeah.
Do you want to leave a contact number or email something?
This guy had run a little furniture factory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just
a great
sharp. I mean, was had a little furniture.
That's what we're looking for. You know, I want somebody that's blind, that knows basically what he's got to do. We'll teach him the things that we know. He might teach us some things too.
Well, you'd hope he would.
Yeah.
If he's any kind of carpenter. If he's any kind of cabinet maker, he would.
You know, there is no question in my mind. We've been playing with this thing for almost 10 years now. It's going to fly. It's going to happen. And once it takes a hold, it'll spread all over the country. I'm not even worried about it. I know it will.
Your thinking is that you're going to make cabinets, and I think you said you had somebody that said they would buy cabinets if you'd make them.
We have Habitat for Humanity that has looked at the cabinets that we've built, and we gave them prices, and they told us if we continue to build that type of quality with that price, they will buy every cabinet we can build. Well, they'll do that all over the country. So if somebody from Texas or Alabama or wherever came down here and learned the program, they went back home, they'd have an automatic place to sell their product as long as they do quality work.
Boy, I'll give you one thing. You're tenacious. You're not a quitter.
Going to quit. I told my wife back in 1990, I said, listen, we're going to do something to help these blind people. By gosh, I don't care what we got to do. We're going to do it. Well, I'm still struggling.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it. We're getting closer. And, you know, we're also having another major problem, which I just soon have it on the air and let the people know about it.
All right.
The state and most of the people that I deal with keep saying to us constantly, well, you've got to be competitive. I want to tell you something. No blind man can be competitive with a sighted carpenter. I don't care who he is. But that doesn't mean that we can't make a decent living. And that's the big thing. I've been dealing with the state of Florida now. I ask them, why is the federal law so that I could make an additional $1,500 a month without losing my disability? Well, there's a reason for that. There were some smart, intelligent people that put that law together. And, you know, I figure it this way. If I'm making $1,500 right now on disability, and I can make another $15, that's 100% better than what I'm doing now.
Yes,
that's true.
That's true.
And that makes a hell of a difference. And that $15 will be paying taxes and all the other things that go along with it. And I think the government, at least here in Florida, has got to wake up to the fact that, by gosh, if I can make $1,000 or $2,000 extra a month and I'm paying taxes on it, I've got to be benefiting the country.
It's got to benefit someone.
But this money that you had thought you were going to get, why did you not get that originally?
Well, this last deal, I went to Tallahassee. I did everything you possibly can do to make sure that we got the rest of the money to finish that project. I found out something, and I kind of was under the table how I found it out. The state of Florida has a set of rules, and they go on forever, of course. And what it said was that they do not give out money for any capital improvements that does not belong to the state of Florida.
Okay.
Well, as soon as I found that out, we're a nonprofit agency. The property in that building that we've got, which is worth over $1 million now, we only paid $65,000 for it 10 years ago. We don't care if we own it. I tried to give it to the state.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could go ahead and get our money and finish our building.
What did they tell you? What did they wouldn't take it?
They wouldn't take it.
They wouldn't.
No, they told me that it would take several months to put that together, and they really didn't feel it was worth the effort.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're really dealing with a catch-22 type thing. You're darned if you don't and darned if you do. So, you know, what we're going to try to do now, we got two fundraisers. We're selling bricks inside that building at $100 a piece. And we're also selling these little choo-choo trains for $32.
And your wishing wells.
And the wishing wells.
What
and
is
we're
your...
hoping, and that'll start on the Internet, I think, on the 1st.
Mm-hmm. What is your eBay? Do you have an eBay store?
No, I don't.
Just you're going to just
is,
do
it's
it.
It's on eBay, and don't ask me what my secretary how she set it up. I don't have nothing to do with it.
Okay, but it's on eBay.
But it is going to be on eBay, and it's in the children's toys. That's where it's at.
Okay.
And you'll be able to pick that up there. We're hoping, you know, we don't need much anymore. We're down to about $49,000 to finish this darn thing. And so we're getting close.
Y'all are getting close.
But I gather from what you just said that you're not an Internet man.
No, I'm not.
You don't fool with that Internet. You get your secretary.
Well, you know
that.
What happened. I was in construction and real estate and that type of thing when I was cited. I had secretaries that took care of all that stuff. As a matter of fact, it was just basically getting started before I went blind.
When you lost your eyesight.
But now... I've also got neuropathy in my hands,
mm-hmm.
and that makes it difficult, too. And, boy, you talk about challenges as far as working with wood. The blindness is one thing, but neuropathy is another. But we're doing great with it, and I think that, you know, down the road, it's going to make such an amazing difference to people because once they find out that they can actually do these things, and that's the saddest thing of all, 99% of all the people that I talk to that are hesitant are because they've worked with state people that says, no, that's something you just can't do.
They like the lady I talked to this morning, she went to apply for a job as a TV reporter, and the guy said, well, a blind person can't do that. And she said, oh, yeah, but I'm going to do it. I want to do it.
Well, God
and
bless her.
So they put her, she ended up working for a television station, a little program she created. But eventually what you're going to have is a carpenter shop or a cabinet shop there that teaches blind people to make cabinets and then will employ some of them to work in your cabinet shop.
Yeah, we'll have that. But we're also, the big thing that I'm trying to do is get these people in here that want to build cabinets and that type, or even furniture. We'll do the furniture thing also. So that they can go back home, we're going to teach them how to get the equipment, how to buy the materials, all that sort of stuff, so that they will become an independent contractor in their own place. They can work out of their garage or their basement or whatever, even their bedroom for that matter, and build this stuff, take pride in what they're doing. They're never going to get rich, but by God, they can make some good money, a lot more than what they're getting right now. And that's what we want to teach them. And hopefully we're going to get some people like myself that are in other states that will want to do the same thing we're doing here, and they'll do it in a different state.
Yeah.
I don't want them to follow under our auspice, although we'll do everything we can to help them.
Uh-huh.
But I don't plan on our corporation growing any or anything like that. I'm trying to do this for the darn blind, and boy, I'll tell you, it's been a battle, but we're gaining.
It's hard to help those blind people sometimes, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think the biggest problem we've got is the sighted world.
Well, the bureaucracy.
They don't care.
I'd like to comment. Yeah, you're fighting the bureaucracy and also I hope somebody forgives me, the established charities, charitable groups, United Way, because they want to give to the Lighthouse for the Blind. But where you're, and you need the, you have a new idea, and it's contra to theirs, and so therein lies the problem.
Yeah, well, I tell you, United Way here has been working with us, and they are giving us some money.
Well, that's good.
And matter of fact, this year they did real well for us. So hopefully, and that, of course, has helped us get our building. You know, when we started this building, we were going to have a total cost of $150,000.
And now?
We're over $400,000 now, and we still need another $60,000, well, say $50,000 to finish it.
Who's the project manager,
what
Bob?
How did it get out of hand like that?
Well, you know what's happening. Everything keeps going up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's totally amazing. I have to sit back and wonder, just in the last 3 years, how things could go as bad as they have. It's just totally mind-boggling. Even property here has quadrupled in 4 years. Florida is exploding, and I...
Yeah.
You know, it's nice if you've got property and you don't know what to do with it, because you could always sell it and make some good money.
Yeah.
But, my goodness, it's just totally amazing. We bought property here 25, 30 years ago for $400 an acre.
And
you
now
can't
it's
buy
worth...
anything for less than $50,000 an acre now.
Wow.
So things have changed.
Oh, yeah.
So that piece of property you got is worth a lot of money now.
Oh, yes, sir.
that your building is sitting on that you haven't finished.
Yeah. Well, it's coming, though. And, it's going to happen now. We're close enough that we'll be working in there this year.
All right. What we need from you is some contact information. I sure wish there was somebody there that could tell us how to find your stuff on eBay.
Well, I know that on the web page, we're blindamericans.net.
Blindamericans.net.
Yes. Is your website page.
That's our website page. Right. Now, we haven't got anything on there, but we're going to have, and it'll be this month coming up here.
All right. Very good.
Blind Americans. Do you think that will be the signature they're sold on eBay under, Blind Americans?
I don't know how they're selling it there.
But they could link your eBay dealings to that homepage.
To that webpage,
they get
if,
it
you
up
want,
and
if she knew how
it
to do that.
I know that we're paying like 19 or 20 bucks for 3 months of advertising on eBay.
Just a question then, Bob. Is there any way that we... somebody here, email or phone, could contact your secretary and get all the poop?
Yeah, we're at Blind Americans, all small case letters.
Yes, sir.
At Nature Coast.
Okay.
.net.
Blind Americans at Nature Coast.
.net.
That's pretty neat.
And does she have a name? First name?
That'll be Mary Ann.
Mary Ann, we'll get in touch with her.
We will. We'll email her, and maybe we can find out a little more about your eBay thing, because that'd be neat if we could tell people where to go buy their
book. Yeah, she'll know more about it than I do, because she's the one that's setting it up.
She's the one doing it, huh?
Yeah.
Well, everybody needs Mary Ann around to help them. You
there
know
you
what?
Go.
All right, sir, we're going to go and wish you a lot of luck. We're going to give you about a year and then call you back, and we want to hear, when we call back in a year, we want to hear power tools running.
That's right.
There you go.
We want to hear.
Running now, believe me, but not exactly the way they're supposed to.
Not quite the way they're going to be.
That's right.
That's right. And we want to be able we want to know that you sold several sets of cabinets to Habitat for Humanity. Jimmy Carter's involved in that, isn't he?
There you go.
It's a Jimmy Carter deal.
Yeah, he's involved in it a little bit.
Yeah.
Every little bit helps, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
All right, Bob.
I'm trying to get a drink before I sign off here. Bob, we appreciate you, and we're going to let you go and talk to you in about a year.
Okay, guys.
All right, Bob Kruger from down in Florida building a workshop for blind people, and hopefully... someday you'll get that
independent cabinet contractor. That's interesting. It's an interesting concept.
The first time we heard it, remember, Pat, we said, well, we know what we need to do is take a couple months off, go down and help you build that building.
That's what we said.
Now, that's out of the question now. I wouldn't be interested. I've gotten too old.
Too damn many hurricanes.
Too many hurricanes.
Who wants to go down there?
All right. We're going to talk about somebody's pet project in just a minute. We're the Blind Handyman. I'm Phil Parr. Don Patterson, Don Shaw, and Tom Houston are here. Be back in just a minute.
2004.
You might have gathered we have a live audience today.
We have folks from, I guess, from all over the nation. A lot of folks from up in northeast Pennsylvania.
Good morning again. I'm Bob Bartlett.
That was November 2004. Hi, this is Phil Parr, and this November 2006, we're going to do it again. We're going to gather at the Sheraton Northeast in Houston, Texas, and have a big party. Opening ceremony Saturday morning. Cooking in the Dark with Dale Campbell and Cheryl coming Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, lots of dancing and great live music. We'll record a live blind handyman show Sunday morning. A live blind like me show Sunday afternoon. And Sunday night, more dancing and great live music. If all this sounds like fun to you, why don't you email me and I'll send you the details. My email address is phil@philparr.net. That's P-H-I-L at P-H-I-L-P-A-R-R.net. We'll see you this November in Houston. Friends, it's time now to talk about, it's time now to take phone calls. If you'd like to call us and ask us some question, well, you can do that. 936-634-9500.
Are you going to give away that musty old Eddie Arnold album?
Give away that Eddie Arnold album.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything I want to give away. But
to the 29th caller.
29th caller.
936-634-9500. If you'd like to call us and tell us about your weed killer or any project you happen to have going. Speaking of project, you're about through, Pat, huh? About to.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I don't think it's a train. We finally, after quashing this morning's rebellion with the brick man, he's up and running. Says he'll be back, and I've still got all of his stuff, so I guess I could impound it if he didn't.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
Doesn't come back. But anyway, have roofs on both structures, shingles, that's all complete.
Really?
All I'm lacking on the dog kennel thing is pouring the concrete slab. That's going to be in about November when it's cooler, we hope.
So you built the building, and now you're going to pour the slab.
Right. Form it. I left room with fences and everything to put the forms down, pour the slab, the pavilion behind the pool we have one of the little rooms. In other words, on each end, it was 20 by 40, but back in the back. Hello.
Oh.
That's the first call. The 29th caller.
Yeah. Caller ID didn't work. What happened there?
Trying to get that Eddie Arnold album.
Hi there.
You never ask for callers. You never know who's going to dial in.
Well, you really don't, do you?
You never know, do you, Dave?
Just asking for callers may have been a mistake, Dave, you think?
It might have been.
You're not caller 29, Dave. You don't get the album.
Oh, well, that's okay.
I mean, you're caller 27.
27. Well,
just think if you'd waited two more.
It was close.
What's going on, sir?
Well, I was listening to your part about the patching metal on a car. I actually did that once when I was about 19. We did exactly what you guys were talking about. We cut pieces of metal just bigger than the holes.
Uh-huh.
Drilled holes into the, you know, good sheet metal, and I used pop rivets.
You did use pop rivets?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that'd be the thing to do as far as, you know, the way I see it. The pop rivets would be rather a whole lot better than sheet metal screws.
Yeah.
Pop rivets aren't going to back out. There's no question about that. They're going to... Where would you get... I guess you could... Can you buy stock sheet metal?
Yeah, I don't know where we got it at that time. Like I said, it was quite a while back. My friend's 73 Cadillac had some holes in it, and we were patching it. Now, since that time, I looked, tracked down, and found a nice screw guide at Sears, but I've also seen them at, like, Lowe's and Home Depot. It's a little contraption where the bit slides in, and a little collar pulls out, and you put the collar flush against whatever you're drilling into, and then it collapses back as the screw goes in.
As the screw goes in, this collar folds outward?
Well, it just slides back.
Yeah. That'd be kind of neat.
It would be kind of neat.
I got it at Sears a few years ago. It's a speed lock set, if you ever heard of a speed lock.
Oh, yeah. No. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have this contraption?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Well, I guess I'll just have to go buy one.
Have to have one of those, huh?
How about that?
That set, there's seven bits, seven drill bits, seven screwdriver bits, and a screw guide, and then the speed lock collar.
And, but the speed lock collar fits all the bits and all the screws.
Yeah, well,
that would be handy.
Yeah, exactly. You just put the drill bit in the collar or the screw guide, and you just pull this little, pull the outside frame of it back, and it locks it in.
Uh-huh. Talking about where would you get metal, every little town across America, I think we have several, I mean, and look for like pipe and metal, pipe and steel, pipe salvage.
That's true.
I'm doing my brick work, and up over the windows and the doors, they put 3x3 angle, they call it quarter inch thick. And that's what they set the top of their the layer of their bricks that goes over the window.
Mm-hmm.
They have the metal to support it. And this little company, I called the guy and I said, my wife is going to stop by there and pick this up. I need to make an order. I need two pieces 48 inches long, two pieces 53 inches long. Well, his price was like $2 and something a foot plus $2 a cut.
Uh-huh.
But they will also sell just flat, probably quarter inch sheet metal. And so if you were, I mean, we were talking about where would you get this, look for a pipe and salvage pipe and metal, because they have it.
Yeah, it was sheet metal. I just don't recall. And,
yeah, it'd be like the time Houston and I took this old Dodge up there and bought, remember that?
Yes, I do.
On
Regae, yeah.
I was trying to hang a swing, and I put a plate up on the ceiling and put a hook in the middle, and the guy was going to charge me, and he saw us, our decrepit old car and how bad we were dressed, he just gave it to us.
Well, I was thinking any more, you know, we talk about metal and sheet metal in old cars, but I bet if you rip the carpet up out of one of these Toyotas or Hondas, it'd probably be plastic.
Well, or fiberglass.
Yeah.
Surprising. I bet it's fiberglass.
Well, there was something also on the list where one fellow, I don't remember his name or anything like that, but he was talking about rust being the factor, which it would be on an old automobile, I would think.
Well, so, especially around the salt water.
So if it's really rust, how in the world would pop rivets or anything else hold anything?
Well, you'd have to get out to, you know, far enough.
A good metal.
You'd have to get out
on the hole like I did way back then. These are holes at the base of the door. So you go like maybe a half inch or something into the good metal, and that's where you anchor your piece in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And these are just like thin sheets of stuff. Yeah, thin sheets of sheet metal.
Yeah, but I agree. I bet the flooring of Toyota's fiberglass these days. You know, the fenders on my the body, a part of the body of my little Murano car, you can feel it and tell it's plastic. I mean, it's fiberglass.
Yeah.
It's not metal.
Well, you know, my daughter's daddy-in-law, I mean, he's Cleta bought a 2005 Chevrolet.
Uh-huh.
So he walks out there and he fills out it and everything. He said, oh, the bumpers are plastic. I wouldn't buy nothing like that. And truly, they are.
That's not Howard.
That's Howard,
they've
yes.
Been, yeah, they've been plastic for 10, 15
oh, yeah.
years.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they're big, hard plastic thing. I mean, they're, you know.
And, of course, their car, my daughter's car, is plastic bumpers.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, that's the new.
Yeah, last year my neighbor stored his Corvette in my garage for a couple months, which, of course, I had to show everybody, look at my new car. But, yeah, it was fiberglass body. Oh, yeah, I told everybody, you want to see my vet? You know.
Oh, sure. You'd have to do that, wouldn't you?
Did you now, Dave?
Yeah, he went out there for a couple months.
Think anybody believed you?
Well, you never know. I mean, some of these people are pretty gullible.
one never knows, do one. All right, Brother Dave, we thank you, sir, and we'll see you in Houston, Texas.
Yep. We'll be there.
There goes caller 27. Keep trying.
Right. We'll talk to you, David. Thanks, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
David Farron.
Yeah.
List moderator Dave.
Yeah, keep that list in mind.
I have time for one more call here. 936-634. Do I have the theme cued? I have no idea. What time is it, John?
It's getting late.
He's guarding that Eddie Arnold album with his life.
We're not giving that away today. It's not good. It's not going to happen. Let's see how many listeners we have. Oh, well, I can't now.
29, probably.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see if we can do this.
Link for your inform. Link FTP radio dash 10 participants.
Somebody dropped. I guess Dave.
We lost one guy dropped it. Dave.
Dave went off in a huff.
Took him off the air. He gave up on it.
He just said, hell with us.
Probably so. Yeah. Well, there's Ed Bell just ringing in the...
Yeah, it's that time.
I'm going to be on vacation the next couple of weeks, so these guys are going to be on vacation. We'll run some old shows and be back on the... I think we come back on the
19th.
Does that sound right?
So you need not call. These are pre-recorded shows.
That's right.
Following shows is pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
You got it.
I guess not.
Got to get in that disclaimer, don't we?
Got in that disclaimer. Anyway, it's been fun, and we're going to do a little Alaska cruise, and I'm going to check my chainsaw on the airplane.
Yeah.
To be very careful. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate all of you being here once. It's great.
Boy, it was nice, wasn't it?
It's kind of unique.
It is kind of different.
Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Tom Houston, all of you. Try to make it not on the 19th, would you, if you don't
mind? Now, when are you coming back from vacation?
It'll be the 19th.
Let me pencil that in
pencil
on my
that
calendar.
I have I am Phil Parris. He said, the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.